Hey everyone, this is Achyuta Bhava from Nightlight Astrology, and today we are going to take a look at our sun and rising sign horoscopes for the month of March. So as always, I pick some of the highlights of the month and run them through all 12 whole sign houses, and I recommend using this using this for your rising sign. Of course, you could pick your sun sign or even your moon sign, but I recommend the rising because that will align the reading with the exact whole sign house configuration of your birth chart. So you'll get the actual positions in your birth chart that the planets are transiting through at the moment. So that's my advice. We're going to take a look at the new moon in Pisces. We're going to take a look at Venus, Mars conjoining Pluto. And we are going to take a look at the house of Aquarius, which is where Venus will be enclosed for the majority of the month up until about the 19th, when Venus hits a square to Uranus. And hopefully we start to see some breakup of the challenges implied by the enclosure. So that's the agenda. We're going to do that for all the signs. To me, this is the biggest story of the month. I might do some horoscopes for some of the other transits of the month, but I'll do those closer to the time. So I just want to tell what, you know, paint with some broad strokes and tell the big story of the month. Try to keep it simple. So let's begin with Aries as our first sign. If you are an Aries rising, Aries sun, you're going to find that the new moon is falling into the sign of Pisces in your 12th house. So here you can see the new moon coming through on March 2nd. To me, given the positive emphasis on Jupiter and Neptune that'll be building this month into next, and this is why I'm paying such close attention to this Pisces moon for everybody, I have to say that I think this is ultimately a positive. I believe, however, that there's some challenges associated with the 12th house in general that are perhaps unavoidable for you. The one thing that comes to mind here is the idea of the hidden or unseen or unconscious beliefs that guide your actions, both positively and negatively. In the positive, I could see this month and next, really 2 months in a row, being about discovering those things that really deeply matter to you, that motivate you. On the other hand, I could see that coming by a recognition of what's not working. So we fall on our face only to realize I'm not living in accordance with my principles or my ideals or my beliefs. Maybe there's some need to develop those aspects of your life, the guiding convictions that help you, that give you some moral or spiritual compass. On the other hand, sometimes we're not confident enough in them. We're not living according to them with all of our strength. Sometimes our guiding beliefs are also the source of our troubles. Our guiding beliefs are inherently something leading us astray. I think these are the kinds of explorations you're going to be doing as an Aries rising both this month and next. Now, the next transit that's so massive is between the 3rd and the 6th of the month. You're seeing Mars and Venus go right through a conjunction with Pluto in the 10th house, which is the place of career. So this is a very cathartic energy. And I wonder what kinds of tensions are coming up around your career right now, especially because of how sort of volcanic Mars and Pluto can be. But what are you trying to work out? What kind of agreement are you looking for? What resolution to stresses are you seeking right now, especially in the career house of your birth chart? So I would look for there to be a pretty dynamic level of tension and maybe catharsis and breakthrough around your professional life the first week of the month. Now, what I'm really focused on for you this month, though, if you are an Aries, is your 11th house. Now, the reason for that is that this is where Venus is going to be enclosed for much of the month. It depends on which measurement we use, but you can see here's Venus by about March 6th passing through a conjunction with Mars and then is right in between Mars and Saturn. Now that's not really getting broken up until the 19th. So I would watch for the 19th to be a possible kind of breakthrough moment, but we're talking about potential for tension or conflict or just intractable situations, especially around groups of people or friends or colleagues or your social life in some broad sense. So remember that Venus is enclosed by the malefics. then on about the 19th hits the square to Uranus, at which point maybe there's some freeing up, or maybe there is some shift of circumstance that allows for the restrictive feeling around that house of friends, allies, and groups to loosen up. But there is some drama there this month that you might be dealing with. So those are my main three transits for you as an Aries this month that I think you ought to have your eye on. All right, I'm going to go forward now to Taurus rising. If you are a Taurus rising, the big story of the month starts with the new moon in Pisces, and that's going to be happening on about March 3rd. So actually it's the 2nd, my bad. Let me go back one more day. It's March 2nd. So here's the new moon in Pisces. Remember, you've got that Jupiter-Neptune conjunction building in Pisces by April. And essentially, what we're looking at here are major developments in the house of groups, friends, allies, benefactors. I like collaborative efforts that are starting to come through. And I like the idea that there's dreams and hopes and aspirations, things you're working on that may have quite a future in front of them. The 11th house is associated with wishes and dreams and things that you develop over a long time that come to fruition slowly. So I like this as a month of dreaming along with other people, openings around groups of people. It looks really beautiful in that respect. However, a little bit of drama here. Venus and Mars in the 9th house, place of philosophy, the higher mind, religion, spirituality, your guiding beliefs. There's some kind of catharsis happening there. Intellectually or spiritually, there might be some testing, or there might be some sense of, almost like going through some kind of paradigm shift or a challenge to your beliefs or ideological or intellectual or spiritual tension. And it's going to, there's a kind of a boiling pot in that area of your chart. And that's happening the 3rd through the 6th of the month. And then all the way through the rest of March, from the 6th almost to the end of the month, Venus is enclosed between the malefics in your career house. Look for the 19th to possibly break that apart, as Venus will eventually square Uranus from within that 10th house to the 1st house. And I'm not rolling through all this. I'm just sort of highlighting the areas of the chart. But the gist of that would be, to me, are you dealing with intractable people? Are you struggling to meet deadlines? What are the pressures or tensions happening in the career house? And how are you trying to break free of them or evolve as an individual? I see that as a major question for Tauruses this month of March. So let's go on now. We'll put Gemini on the ascendant. With Gemini on the ascendant, the new moon is in your career house. There is so much developing there for you both this month and next. We have, of course, the big Jupiter-Neptune conjunction in your 10th house, and that's going to be happening in April, but it's developing from this new moon onwards. So you're seeing the seeds of a lot of growth happening in the career house, and I think it looks very positive for you overall. New opportunities, promotion, inspiration, lots of fertile growth-oriented energy with a very powerful Jupiter, who's also getting reset through the synodic cycle with the sun and its conjunction in the early part of this this moon cycle. So it looks really good in your career house. At the same time, here's where the drama is. You've got Venus and Mars hitting Pluto in the 8th house. That is a place of obligations to other people, debts to other people, or those that they have to us. So I call that place, a place of soul contracts. It's real deep stuff. And often we get real entangled in the topics of the 8th house. We get entangled with other people's opinions of us, other people's needs, other people's the obligations that they have to us or that we have to them, sort of contractual soul stuff. And it's either financial or emotional. So there's a pretty big catharsis happening there, which I would think of as either the changing of some kind of fundamental relationship with other people. Death and rebirth of key relationships comes to mind with Pluto in that house. So watch for that to be a very dynamic energy the first week of March. But then right after that, you go forward to about the 6th, And we're taking Venus and Mars and we're putting them now into your ninth house, where Venus will then be enclosed between the malefics for pretty much the rest of the month up until about the 19th, when it squares Uranus. And maybe there's some kind of breakthrough that's happening around that time. But the gist of this one is that Venus is sort of stuck between a rock and a hard place in the house that is related to foreign countries and travel, higher education in the mind, the intellect, spirituality and religion, your guiding beliefs and principles. So I would look for there to be potential strain this month, or just not an easy go when it comes to what you believe and how what you believe is impacting or related to your most important relationships, whether they're at work or they're private, their family, their friends, their lovers. There's going to be some strain around the topics of religion and the higher mind. I would be very careful if you're traveling abroad with this one, as you're a Gemini, because of the potential to get almost, almost like you get stuck somewhere, or, just delays while traveling or something. I could see something like that. But otherwise, I would say ideological tension around your guiding beliefs and how they are being expressed within key relationships, or maybe even at work, and watching for that to maybe open up, and maybe some of the tension is relieved when Venus hits the square to Uranus, which will happen around the 19th. So watch for there to be a real defining moment around the 19th of the month. Okay, so that's if you're a Gemini. If you are a Cancer, then we are taking this new moon energy that comes through on about March 2nd, and we are placing that new moon, we're placing the new moon in your ninth house. So this is where things will be developing if you are a Cancer rising, not only this month, but next month as well. We're talking about the house of religion, philosophy, spirituality, foreign countries. And there is just something really special starting to open up around that space for you. I would look at this as a time where, your guiding beliefs, your sense of faith, you getting really clear about what guides and motivates you, where do you place your faith? This might be a time where you're reorienting your compass, really. And it's a good time to consider what are the most important principles in my life, and am I living by them? And to really double down on them. So I love this as a time of spiritual renewal, intellectual or spiritual growth. Maybe there's something happening that points you abroad or to some foreign place, like that. At the same time, we also see that in the early part of the month, Venus and Mars are going through a conjunction with Pluto in your seventh house of love and relationships. So there looks to be some major catharsis happening around love and relationships, or something happening in the life of a spouse. Maybe you're meeting someone, maybe you're breaking up. But there's a focus on major transformative events in love and relationships. So that is happening right around March 2nd through, or I should say the first week of the month, the 3rd through the 6th in particular. Sorry, I don't know why I said March 2nd. Okay, then we look a little bit further. And once you get to about March 6th, then Venus is going to be hemmed in by the malefics in your eighth house. So what does that mean? That could mean that there are going to be some potential challenges around things like joint resources, money and marriage, soul contracts, things that you owe other people or that other people owe you. And that doesn't just mean financially. It could be financial. Like sometimes you'll see people taking out loans, or they're being, in this case, probably more like trouble getting a loan, or having to pay more heavy tax penalty than you thought you would, or something like that. But Venus in this house is having to deal with probably some pretty rigid demands, requirements, obligations. And then finally, by the 19th, I would look to the square to Uranus as a moment of potential breakthrough. I have felt indebted. I have felt trapped. I have felt obligated. I have felt stuck, probably because of what other people are expecting of me or what someone else in my life is going through that's dictating my own circumstances or something like that. But now I'm feeling a little bit free. That could happen around the 19th. So I would watch for that energy to form around the 6th, maybe loosen up by about the 19th. And to me, that's probably the biggest story of the month. All right, so let's go on. If you are a Leo rising, we're going to take a look at this new moon that's taking place in your 8th house. So let me back this up a little bit. The new moon in the 8th house, especially given that Jupiter's heading toward a conjunction with Neptune by next month, to me is very auspicious. This points to beneficial things, blessings, support coming from other people. The 8th house, you know, gives and takes away. It is a place where we receive things from other people that are coming to us by means of our karma or our fate. What other people give us, contribute to us, owe us, but then also what we owe others. I like this as not only this month, but next month as months of giving and receiving very deeply and freely and generously. Now, that's my most positive interpretation, but at the same time, the challenge seems to be that, look, here's Venus and Mars going through a conjunction to Pluto, especially the first week or so of the month of March. And that's a very cathartic place to a place that's often associated with conflict and challenges, the sixth house is. But then if we take this forward, immediately we're looking at Venus and Mars conjoining in the seventh, and then Venus is hemmed in between the malefics for most of the month of March. So even though there's so much that's trying to be this being given or that wants to be shared or something like that through this nice energy that's forming in the eighth house, I think that you're going to be dealing with some intractable people or situations in love and relationships or key relationships in your life, if they're personal or professional, where there's just not, people just can't come to, they're not seeing eye to eye, or they can't come to an agreement about something. But you may be dealing with the feeling of sort of being stuck between a rock and a hard place when it comes to love and relationships. Venus in the seventh, especially given the long enclosure, right? That's hard. It suggests like kind of a tough row to hoe when it comes to your social life or your relationships. There's the room or the potential for a breakup of that enclosure when Venus squares Uranus around the 19th of March. So I would watch for maybe there to be some lightening of the challenges around relationships coming, you know, maybe around the 19th. But that's the thing, is that while this place wants to give so generously, wants to share so deeply, and is about the blessings that are given and received between people, that's the way I would look at it anyway. You're also dealing, there's just this like really kind of stubborn energy and potential for conflict and like just hardness, hard-heartedness even around relationships. And you might be having to deal with that for a good chunk of March. And again, I would watch the 19th as a moment of potential opening. So that's kind of what I'm seeing for Leos. Let's go forward to Virgo. So if you are a Virgo rising, the new moon is going to fall in your seventh house of relationships and love. And I love what's forming here this month and next. The new moon, as well as Jupiter's conjunction with Neptune next month, really point to this feeling of awakening and imagination and love and romance and growth and sort of fertile, abundant qualities around love and relationships. That seems to be what is developing. But the early part of the month, the first part is first week or so, especially Venus and Mars are conjoining with Pluto in the fifth house. That to me looks like there could be questions about pleasure, sex, what is healthy versus unhealthy pleasure, what is helpful versus harmful when it comes to pleasure, for example, a love affair that hurts someone, or drinking too much or spending too much versus you know, maybe also loosening up if you're too uptight and you need to have a little bit more fun or open your heart romantically. But those tensions between too much and too little around pleasure and joy and love and relationships seem to be the theme the first part of the month. But then by about the sixth of the month, Venus enters Aquarius along with Mars and then is in this malefic enclosure. Remember that this house was called the house of bad fortune and the joy of Mars. Venus in this place, hemmed in by the malefics all the way up until about the 19th, when she hits a square to Uranus, which could sort of intervene and break things up a little bit, looks like she's dealing with a lot. I could see there just being an aura of having to deal with a frustrating or difficult situation that doesn't go away quickly, maybe prohibiting the growth that you're hoping for in love and relationships. It's as though there's this big opening around love and relationships, but then Venus, the god of love, is saying, you know what, I'm going to go through a really challenging time, maybe provide some frustration, some delays, some heartache, you know, and I hate to say it because it just sounds kind of negative, but it's like Venus is in a tough spot. And given what's trying to open around love and relationships, it may not be easy to get there. I think there's hope around the 19th of the month when Venus hits the square to Uranus, almost like she's getting freed up a little bit, but it could very well carry over into April. The very end of the month, Venus finally passes through a conjunction with Saturn, and then in April enters the seventh house where she's exalted. So don't worry, I think you'll get through it, but the promise around love and relationships doesn't seem to be totally able to be satisfied until next month. Because of this enclosure. So that's where I'm going for Virgos. Let's go to Libra rising. If you are a Libra rising, the new moon is going to, in Pisces, falls in your sixth house. Now remember, this new moon is, we're focusing on it because Jupiter is going to conjoin Neptune in Pisces next month, and everything's building toward that with a lot of attention on this sixth house. Sixth house with all of this energy to me feels like healing wounds, becoming generous in heart and spirit, giving, healing, serving, looking at the conflicts in your life that you're willing to have because you believe in something that is of transcendent value. Even that would to me check out with this focus on Jupiter, Neptune in the sixth. But mostly I think about the things that we deeply care about, that we will sacrifice for, give ourselves to, and the healing that we seek. That to me is where the focus is if you're a Libra. But you do have the conjunction between Venus, Mars, and Pluto the early part of the month in the fourth house. A little bit of drama, maybe around home, family, and love, all kind of combined family karma and romantic karma, something like that, that's boiling over. Especially the early part of the month, that first week of March in particular gets a little bit dicey. And then if I take it forward just a little bit onto the sixth, then you see Venus hemmed in by the malefics in the fifth house. Now, this might have something to do with your children. If you have kids, carrying over with the theme of family karma, maybe being a little explosive this month for Libras. So maybe something to do with children that's a little bit challenging, at least for a little bit, up until about the 19th when Venus hits a square to Uranus and there's like some kind of baggage or bondage that feels like it's being released, or that the feeling of liberation is in the air. But the other thing is Venus hemmed in between the malefics. This is not a month to like develop a bad spending habit or drinking habit. You know, the fifth house is a house of pleasure, but malefic Venus in that house, I mean, malefic enclosure of Venus in that house, you get caught in a bad pattern, or you get caught in the name of pleasure, bringing out the worst in yourself. So be a little bit careful of whether it's spending or just anything that would be a form of gratification that goes too far and gets you stuck somehow. But look, anyway, look for the energy of Venus being challenged in this place of pleasure, creativity, children, to be broken up by about the 19th. I'm very optimistic that the square to Uranus will sort of lend itself to like a change of scenery, a breakup of the monotony and so forth. So that is what I'm seeing for Libras. Let's move it forward now to Scorpio rising. if you're a Scorpio rising, we're looking at this new moon in your fifth house. So the new moon in Pisces is in the fifth. This is where everything is moving, not only this month, but next, as Jupiter conjoins Neptune in Pisces in the fifth overall. So it's a long sequence this month and next, where there's so much attention on that sign of Pisces. Fifth house, a place of joy, creativity, children, pregnancy, recreation, creativity. I think I said creativity. So when you see so much energy there, I think it's very fertile. I mean, you know, my Scorpios could easily be getting pregnant or learning that you were pregnant or something like that. Things could be growing really nicely around the topic of children. There's a lot of creative energy there. It's a marriage of what I believe and what I hope and wish for, as well as what brings me joy. You want to be careful that you're not getting deluded by the pleasure drive. Someone deludes themselves into a bad habit because they're conflating their bad habit with some higher sense of purpose. Like, well, I really believe in what I'm doing at work and I'm so happy that I'm doing it. So I'm going to drink a bottle of wine every single night, you know, almost like be careful of what you could delude yourself into doing or believing, or how you might be enabling yourself on behalf of something that looks higher, but is actually, you know, at the core, maybe you're getting wrapped up in things that aren't very healthy for you. On the other hand, just fortunate, good pleasure, like, the fifth house is called the joy of Venus. So you think of pleasure and you think about good, fortunate, fulfilling energies this month for you. So I love this for you this month and next as creatively rewarding, uplifting, emotionally satisfying. but then, of course, we do have the first, you know, say week of the month, Venus and Mars are going through a conjunction with Pluto in the third house. It's a little mentally combustive. So I don't know if that's combustive. I think that's a word. So Venus, this is a house that's often associated with the mind and with our environment. I could see things boiling over, or there being like kind of maybe some sexual tension in the air, or maybe like the saying things that are very strong. Maybe they need to be said, but you say them too hard or too much or something. But there's like a mental, it's like a crock pot, and something has been cooking and it's ready to be said, or there's a mind pattern that's ready to be changed, something in the environment that could blow up a little bit too. So watch for that the first week of the month. But then if you go forward just a little bit further, then we're looking at Venus and Mars shifting into Aquarius, where Venus is then hemmed in by the malefics for most of the month. There's a chance that Venus sort of gets liberated around the 19th when it hits a square to Uranus. I have my eye on that as a possible moment of like reprieve or, you know, shifting things around or whatever. But this is the house of home, family karma, your living environment or family and marriage dynamics in the home, that kind of thing. Family relationships, constellation of family patterns. And they could be quite intense this month if you're a Scorpio, because Venus is sort of locked in between the malefics and, you know, not doing so well, frankly. Like Venus could find herself, you know, trying to bring peace, but dealing with intractable forces, or sort of stuck between a rock and a hard place, especially when it comes to family karma and potentially marital karma. Because oftentimes Venus in the fourth will be about marriage as well. So marriage and family karma, a little bit intense this month, but watch for there to be like a breakthrough right around the 19th. So that's my read for you if you're a Scorpio rising. Let's go forward to Sagittarius. If you're Sag rising, the new moon is coming through in your fourth house. Now that is the place of family and home and living environment. And you're going to see a lot of attention on home, family, property, living environment, ancestral karma, not only this month, but next month as well, as the Jupiter-Neptune conjunction is building. I love this energy as an energy of growth and turnover and change around home and family that is kind of turns the soil over, brings new life, There's change and transformation in this area that I think ultimately is positive. There might be some healing around the roots that's taking place. So to me, that's the really promising energy of this month and next. But in the meantime, you are going to be dealing in the first week or so of the month with Venus and Mars going through the conjunction with Pluto in your financial house. Could there be some challenges around resources, money, finances, or some transformative, cathartic, and a little bit of explosive energy around those themes? I would watch for that, you know, the first good week of the month. And then after that, you're looking at Venus and Mars conjoining in Aquarius, and then Venus is immediately hemmed in between the malefics in the third house. This is a place that's related to the mind, speech, communication, technology. I wouldn't be surprised if there is just a more intense or rigid quality mentally or in terms of communication with other people, or if you're finding that there's like just an intractable, stubborn quality in terms of being able to communicate or get along with other people. I would be careful about compromising too much for the sake of peace, or on the other hand, becoming too rigid and not and unwilling to compromise yourself. Those extremes, watch for them. And note that around the 19th, when Venus hits the square to Uranus, there might be a sort of breakup of some of the harder, more difficult qualities around Venus. So to me, this is an energy that is highly, it's like, especially around the mind, the intellect, communication. Don't be surprised if it feels like it's just wearing on you or there's a little bit of strain there this month. Sometimes this third house will carry over into like family and friends, like siblings, especially. So just watch for that mental energy and try to be patient and know that the Venus-Uranus dynamic on the 19th could sort of break up any kind of stagnation or stuckness that you're feeling. All right, let's go forward and put Capricorn on the ascendant. What we're doing here is now we're looking at the new moon in the third house. So here is the new moon in Pisces, and this is in your third house, which to me is really exciting when it comes to the third house was called the joy of the moon and the house of the goddess. And so when I see a double-bodied water sign like Pisces, a Jupiter-Neptune conjunction that's building this month into next, I think to myself, there is a feminine healing quality coming through. If you're a Capricorn rising, you know, you have some metal, like you're soldier, you're tested, you have that Saturn Mars kind of signature with your rising sign. To me, when I see all this Pisces energy sweeping through the third, I think your mind is calming, is being healed. Rough edges are being worn down. There's a gentleness. There's a feminine healing quality in the environment this month that's trying to express itself. Maybe it's creative. Maybe it's creatively. Maybe it's something you're writing or learning or teaching or ideas that you're considering or the way you're communicating or the way your mental energy is changing. But it feels like a very healing and soothing energy. However, it is coming right as you're also dealing with Venus and Mars in your first house. That's you, your body, your own mind going through this catharsis with Pluto. Is there some kind of are you looking at your own psyche in the mirror of a conflict with someone else or the resolution of tensions with other people? I think this is an early existential month for Capricorns, as it's like the beginning of the month has a lot to do with your mind and your self-image and how you communicate and how you get along with other people. So I would watch for some catharsis around your sense of identity and especially how you relate to others in the first week or so of the month. And then it's funny because then you see Venus and Mars getting into Aquarius in the second, where Venus is then hemmed in by the malefics in the second house of money and resources. I wouldn't be surprised if there is some question about resources, money, finances, business, and a feeling of being stuck or dealing with like an intractable or difficult situation all the way up until about the 19th when Venus hits the square to Uranus and there's this need to free up resources or get out of situations that are draining your resources or something like that, or a shift of how you're using them or something. So watch for maybe challenges around money, resources, finances, and business up until about the 19th when Venus hits the square to Uranus, at which point I think things start to free up. And then by the end of the month, Venus passes over Saturn and things should be quite different. So that's what I'm seeing there. Okay, so that takes us to Aquarius rising. If you are an Aquarius rising, then the new moon is coming through in your second house, which is the house of money, resources, income, and expenditures, it's sometimes called. And so I love what's growing here as an Aquarius rising. It feels like a very fertile, abundant energy, unless you're spending and draining a lot of money through idealistic, you know, or like fantasies and delusions, possible. But overall, if you're someone who's growing a business, if you're trying to make an investment, if you're trying to make a purchase that, you know, you're really excited about, I love this in terms of there being new resources flowing into your life that are positive, an exciting use of your resources, maybe a raise or promotion, growth financially, starting a business. It just looks very positive overall. However, the first week of this month, you're dealing with Venus and Mars rolling through conjunction with Pluto in your 12th. I'd be very careful of toxicity in relationships sort of bubbling over the first week or so of the month. Then you've got the potential for anything that's in your blind spot around sex, love, relationships, friendships, in any area of your life. You could see that kind of blow up the first week of the month. So I'd be a little bit careful about that. But then you see Venus and Mars come into the first house, and this is where it gets kind of spicy. You've got Venus hemmed in by the malefics in your first house. I would be very cautious about your health and your well-being, just physically, emotionally. I think the potential is there to not feel so good or to feel almost like misunderstood or accosted somehow. So I think, you know, you could feel a little beat up this month, honestly. But then there's some sense of a breakthrough. Maybe this breakthrough happens by redefining who you are in relation to your history or your past. I would see that as something that's especially taking place by about the 19th of the month, but it's a pretty existential month for Aquarians where, again, health or the feeling of not being understood or being stuck in something that's not making you feel great or enclosed by some sense of obligation or duty that you need to get free of somehow. It may not be totally over until the end of the month, but watch for the 19th to be a possible moment of breakthrough. All right, finally, let's put Pisces on the ascendant. As a Pisces rising, I feel like your sign comes last, but you have the most exciting horoscope. When it comes to the potential of self-actualizing, individuating, growing as a person, growing upon the strength of your convictions, starting something new, feeling empowered. This month and next month are your month, are your months. You're seeing that Jupiter-Neptune conjunction come through in your home sign. And unless you're, you know, falling in love with yourself and to an unhealthy degree and riding on some kind of crazy high horse and getting delusional, to me, this is all about the building of confidence, the development of faith in what you care about, an opening for you to expand as an individual and opportunities that come with it. And I just love this transit for Pisces this month and next month, Pisces rising. However, the first week of the month, you're dealing with Venus, Pluto, Venus, Mars, and Pluto going through the 11th house of friends and allies. That could be really explosive and maybe not so easy when it comes to groups of people, friends, a social dimension of your life could be going through a little bit of upheaval. And then from the 6th onward, Venus is hemmed in by the malefics in the 12th house. I could see the growth that you're experiencing being temporarily tested because someone or something in the environment is not having it, or there's almost like drama in your blind spot that you have that's coming up that you have to deal with. It's a challenge of some kind. You'll get through it. Watch for a breakthrough as Venus squares Uranus around the 19th. I could see anything that's like toxic or in your blind spot, you becoming very aware of it and having to like break free from it around the 19th. But it's all about self-actualization and growth and becoming more of who you are this month and next, but you're going to be tested this month. So don't give up, because I think next month you'll feel like there's a lot more positive supportive energy, but you're it's like before you can get there, there's this test. And I think especially around social life, relationships, there's going to be some stuff in your blind spot that you have to deal with. And I would see, especially all the way up until about the 19th, that could be a real challenge, but then watch for the 19th onward, things to start looking up. By the very end of the month, you'll certainly be through the worst of it. So, and then April looks great. And there's to me, this is for Pisceans, this is probably the best transit of the year, the best horoscope of the year. I think the Jupiter-Neptune conjunction in your first house is overwhelmingly supportive and positive. So I'm excited for that for all of you. All right, that's what I've got for this month, everyone. I hope you enjoyed that. What I try to do, you know, is 22 transits on the month. You know, that would take me like 4 hours to do for all, you know, so I'm not going to do that. What I do instead is I pick like, what's the story of the month, you know, for everyone? Like what are the highlights? What are the big hits from the planets? And then how is that story being told in everybody's chart according to those whole sign houses? As I said, there will be some other transits in the month. I might take through the rising signs like as we go. So if there's any that you'd like me to do in particular this month, you're always free to leave me a comment and say, hey, do the rising sign horoscopes for this transit. I'd love to see it or whatever. In the meantime, if you are experiencing any of these transits in a big way, use the hashtag grabbed and then leave the name of the transit and then tell us a story about how it's showing up in your life or use the email address grabbed@nightlightastrology.com. I'll probably be aggregating another set of stories this week or next to share. But this week, man, we have a lot of big astrology to go over. We've got the new moon tomorrow. We're going to be taking a look at that. We've got Venus and Mars going through the conjunction with Pluto. We've got a Venus-Mars conjunction in Aquarius. I mean, it is. We got to talk about what an enclosure is and give people more of an education on that. So I'm stoked. I feel like March is one of the busier months of the first, you know, first half of the year, and April's big too. So I feel like we're coming into some really exciting astrology, and I can't wait to talk about it with all of you guys. Okay, that's what I've got for today. I hope you guys have a good one, and we'll talk to you again soon. Bye.